Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. We're still visiting with our good friend, our new friend, I should say, Joe Knight. He's going to be our good friend, though, real soon. He's going to be back with us and talk to us some more. He's got a lot to teach us, ladies and gentlemen, about running the financial aspect of business. He and Karen Berman are the co-authors of Financial Intelligence for Entrepreneurs, what you really need to know about the numbers. Those are your numbers, ladies and gentlemen. Joe, what are some other things? You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the operating statement. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage on my part to talk about financial stuff on the radio, you know, if you think about
it. Does.
And but I've been doing it for a long time. All the entire 11 years that I've been doing this show, I haven't backed off from that. I've been trying to drill that into my audience's heads. And if nothing else, convince them. If they don't understand how the financial part of their business works, they don't need to start a business. I don't care what kind of great idea they've got. In fact, Joe, if they've got a great idea that people and it's products that people want, if they don't understand that they can outgrow, they can succeed themselves right out of cash and therefore out of business, if they don't understand that, that's a scenario that is a very painful one, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't think we do a very good job of training people in our schools about finance, unless they're a finance or an accounting major. You know, we hire a lot of engineers in our business, and at the end of the interview process, I say to them at Setpoint Systems, our manufacturing company, before I make this offer, I just want to let you know we're an open book company financially. We share our numbers with our employees. And I say to that engineer, before you take this job, would you like to get a couple years of our financials? If you sign a simple non-disclosure, I'll let you review them. I have not been taken up on that offer yet.
Wow.
And I always say to them, you know, well, let me ask you this question. If you don't want to see my financials before you take an offer from us, would you like to know if we have enough cash to make payroll? And they say, yeah, I'd like to know that.
He's going to take your word for it, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think these engineers are mathematically and quantitatively way beyond me. They understand a lot more detail on how to do the numbers. Mm-hmm. Frankly, when I train them on the finances and help them understand our business, they kind of look at me disappointed, saying, "Is that all you guys do? You know, when do you guys take the second derivative?" And I say back to them, "You know, we don't worry about the convexity or concavity of the curve. We're just trying to figure out if we have cash and we're making money." And I think it's kind of troubling that these engineers want to spend their whole careers working in a business for the most part, and yet they don't even know how score is kept.
Well, I've said that if you see somebody walking down the street who look like they've just been hit by a truck with this dazed look on their face, and they feel it looks like, you know, somebody's exploded a bomb in front of them or something, that's probably a small business owner who yesterday was told how profitable he was or she was and that their sales were going through the roof. But nobody told them that they were going to run out of cash, that this growth was going to cause them to run out of cash, and never mind the profit, never mind the sales. If they can't fund their growth, they're actually going to have to close the doors.
That's absolutely right. My experience in small business, people don't get paid; they quit working for you.
Yeah.
And so
they're funny about that, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the end of the game. You can't make your mortgage on a promise.
You got to be able to fund the growth. And so you can't, and I've been saying this for a long time, Joe, it is possible to succeed yourself right out of business.
Absolutely. It happens every day.
And if you don't understand that and all the variations on that, then in my opinion, you're not ready to start a small business.
Yeah. And frankly, this fact is acutely true right now with the capital markets the way they are, with the banks all skittish, with financing sources drying up, you better have a plan for financing and for handling cash flow before you start that small business, because last-minute deals don't happen in this environment right now.
Well, and the other thing is, I think it's going to come home to roost even greater now, because I believe we're moving into an environment that's going to be harder for people to start small businesses, because they're not going to have the easy credit that we've had in the past.
That's exactly right. Things are going to tighten up, and with that being the case, the people who are going to get funded are those who understand their financials and can present a very solid case to the banking or the financial people that you're working with.
Congratulations then, Joe, because that means there's never been a more important time for your book.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's
Financial Intelligence for Entrepreneurs. It's Karen Berman and our friend Joe Knight. Joe, will you come back another day? You got more to teach us.
Absolutely. Be happy to do it for you.
Thanks for doing it. It's Joe Knight, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Got to take a quick break. Going to be right back with John Arnold. We're going to talk about email marketing right after these messages. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. It's my pleasure as always. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and ask.biz. Hope you check those out and use them to your advantage. We built them just for you. No barriers to entry. Don't forget to check out our newsletter at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And you can find a sample copy there, and you can also subscribe. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. John Arnold is our guest, a good friend of ours, a member of our Brain Trust, director of Constant Contact University, the author of Email Marketing for Dummies. That's me, ladies and gentlemen. But even though I've been doing it for a long time, I still have a lot to learn. He's our good friend, John Arnold. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. You guys, John, you guys do quite a few surveys, probably at least once a month or so. And you got some new information for us. We're ready for it.
Yeah, constantly. Constant Contact's always surveying our customers because we're here to serve our customers. We want to know what they're thinking. So one that I want to share with everybody, we just completed our fourth annual Small Business Retail Outlook Survey. Small business owners, what they think about holiday sales. And this year is a little bit of a surprise. We found that 86% of small businesses are concerned about the economy's effect on holiday sales.
And you might that was a surprise?
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise. What's a surprise is that's down from
86% was a surprise. you thought it'd be like 106%, right?
Right. It's down from what we, but also only 33% expect strong holiday sales, and that's down from 63%.
Wow.
Last year, so that's a pretty significant drop. We expected some people to be concerned, but certainly not that many. And you know, the small business owners tend to be optimistic, which is a good thing, and they should be. Optimistic, you know.
We're pathological optimists.
That's right.
Yeah. We're out of control. We're out of control optimists.
We can be. We've got reasons to be optimistic. Of course, you know, small business drives the country. We've got, you know, a lot of people don't think about this statistic because everybody already knows the answer to the question, but, you know, how many economic downturns resulted in a full recovery?
Yeah.
And the answer is, you know, all of them.
100%. So far, that's exactly right.
So, you know, there's reasons to be optimistic. We don't want to be doom and gloom right now. But certainly you want to take a moment to review your strategy and make sure you're doing the right things.
Well, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg was on my show last week, as he is at once a month, with the NFIB's small business report, on economic report. And he said, you know, for every year, small business retailers – you know, complain and predict that they're not going to do very well, and they always do. He said this year they're probably going to be right.
Maybe.
And now that, but you know, I never like to bring anybody a problem without bringing a solution. So here's my solution thought, John, and that is somebody is buying something from somebody somewhere right now. It might as well be you.
You know, there was still a line at Dunkin' Donuts this morning on my way to work. So you know that there are people out there buying, and they're They're buying their habitual stuff and the things that they always buy, and they buy things that they need, and they buy things that they want, too. They just do it a little bit differently. So maybe we can go through a couple of things that change when the economy gets bad so you can talk to your customers.
Let's talk about that. What do you got?
All right. Well, we got number one thing to remember is that there's less impulse buying during economic downturn. So those so-called recreational shoppers aren't making as many purchase decisions when they're out there. They're doing more social things. So one thing that has to do with holiday sales that you might want to take note of, I just read a study by MediaMark Research Intelligence, MRI, they're known as. They found that 70% of shoppers this year are starting before December 15th. So if you haven't already sent an email promotion out promoting your holiday sales, that right after you get done listening to the Jim Blasingame Show,
that's right.
Hang up and go down and send out a promotion, because people are starting early. They're taking more calculated
decisions. They're budgeting. And that means that I think people are probably being a lot more deliberate. They're budgeting more. They're thinking, okay, I'm not going to be able to wait till the last minute and fund it out of a couple of paychecks, I'm going to have to budget things a little bit more and buy a little bit, most people are doing that. I'm not, because I'm the guy who goes shopping for Christmas late on Christmas Eve or something. But a lot of people are doing that. And so don't you think, John, that they're waiting on the discounts? And if you go ahead and send them a discount, some kind of a deal, they're going to jump on it?
Yeah, clearly another point about economic downturns is that saving money becomes a lot more important. So one of the things you want to do in your email communications and all your marketing communications is, emphasize the benefits of early shopping, first of all, because those 70% are starting before December 15th. Your early shopping benefits include those discounts. And make sure that you're making them feel smart by getting a discount. Don't make it feel like you're giving away.
Who they are, if you're doing opt-in collection of emails, these are people who've already at least been in your business, if not done business. How about saying thank you for the business you've given us up to now, and because of that, we want to give you this special opportunity. What do you think about that, John?
I'm really, really glad you said that, because if you're looking for a lifeline right now during this economic downturn, look to your repeat customers. Time to build loyalty. This is the time to gain a lifetime customer, and the value of that lifetime customer. Remember, we're coming out of this recession.
Yeah.
That value of that customer is super high. Keep them around.
See, I've learned well from you over the years, haven't I, John?
There you go.
I pay attention, folks. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till here. Late great James Brown, the Godfather of Soul, take us out.
A sugar and spice. I feel.
Mac bringing us back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with John Arnold. He is director of Constant Contact University. Constant Contact University. And John, tell us how we can contact you guys. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Yeah, well, Constant Contact is the leading provider of email marketing and online surveys for small businesses, and you can find us at constantcontact.com.
So check it out, folks, and I am one of their customers, and I recommend them to you, by the way. John, we're talking about how to reach out and touch your customers. And I've said this so many times before, I don't do business with a lot of companies, but the ones I do business with, there's a reason why I keep doing business with them, because they offer me good products at prices I think are reasonable. And they don't make it hard on me to buy from them, because I'm not, you'll be surprised about this, John, but me being a guy, I'm not a shopper.
Right.
I want what I want, and I don't want to have to spend the day doing it. And so when they send me emails and they say, hey, Jim, we got this new stuff in that, we got some stuff in that you used to buy from us, and we got a new shipment in, and also we're going to give you free shipping. Or we're going to give you a $5 discount or whatever, 10% discount or whatever. Not only does that get my attention because I love the idea of the free thing, But they've just said, you don't have to come shopping for us. We're going to let you know when the stuff you use is available, and we're going to make it easy for you to get it from us. That's the hat trick for me, John.
Yeah. You know, the thing about that
and all that happened because they sent me an email that cost them virtually nothing.
Yeah, you know, and time is a huge factor for people in terms of the, that's why when the economy turns, you know, you've got to save people time, you've got to make it convenient, you've got to make it easy, and you've got to save the money. So you've got to kind of add that on, and sometimes money creeps up and might take the number one spot if it gets bad enough in consumers' minds. But you got to remember that it's not just about the money. Don't just discount things. Make it easy, make it convenient, particularly during the holidays. And it's, you know, what you said is true about, you know, being a guy or whatever and not wanting to go out shopping. 18% of those shoppers who are starting before December 15th, who are calculating and planning, that I mentioned in the study earlier, 18% of those are more, 18% more likely to be female. So if you've got female shoppers on your list, make sure you're overemphasizing the benefits of early shopping and the fact that they're making really smart decisions by planning in advance.
There's one more thing, though, John, that I think is really important to point out. An awful lot of those emails that I get have come from a small business. They didn't just come from the big guys. I'm getting more and more, I'm getting email from small business owners who are telling me either people I do business with or they think I should, and maybe I should, and I can consider them or not consider them. But I'm just trying to encourage small business owners, folks, your customers are anxious for you to reach out and touch them this way. And but you can't do that if you haven't asked them for your email, for their email address.
That's right. And, you know, you're going to have a lot more eyeballs on your business, a lot more traffic on your offers because it's the holidays. So take advantage of all that traffic and all those eyeballs to ask for an email address so that you can contact them later. And here's one of the greatest things about being a small business, and there's many, of course, we talk forever about how great it is to be a small business, but one of the best is that you can use email marketing to look just as good as the big box stores. You can look professional. You can deliver your message for a very cost-effective, in a very cost-effective way. And you know what? The big box stores apply all this branding and big business tactics to their emails. You know, email's a fantastic direct response medium, which means you can go out and get business in the door right away. You don't have to worry about branding your business. Go out and ask for the order, ask for the sale, and then you can get business immediately from your emails.
And see, folks,
that's something the big businesses don't do, and the small businesses are so good at, and email is such a perfect way to do it.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something else, folks. You should do your email in conjunction with your other media activity. Hey, Jim, you may have heard about this on the radio. Just wanted to send you a personal note and let you know that that we're thinking about you, and here's how you buy from us. I mean, you tie it all together, don't you?
Yeah, I'll be the first to tell you that email is not the only thing that you should be doing to market your business. Certainly, you want to have other mediums out
there.
Lots
of radio, right, John?
Lots of radio. Radio ads are great, yeah. So make sure you're doing a lot of stuff. You want to be everywhere, really.
Yeah, but email marketing is one of those places you got to be. Hey, John, thanks for being here. The book is called Email Marketing for Dummies, right?
You got it.
And ConstantContact.com, that's the website. Check it out. Thanks, John. See you next time. Happy holidays.
Yeah, thanks again.
Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.